Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham Ashby. And today I want to say a happy new year, a blessed new year. I'm wishing all of my listeners, all my family and friends, my colleagues, everybody, I'm wishing you a beautiful year filled with love, joy, peace, of course, excellent health and wealth. So I know it's a little late in the month, but it's never too late to give another human being a wonderful greeting. So I'm extending all these warm greetings to each of you. And I want to say a very special thank you to all those individuals who contacted me and asked about the program and if I was in good health and so on. So thank you for your care. Thank you for your interest. And thank you for constantly listening to Visions on the Voice of Barbados. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, today I am very excited to start the program off by just reviewing a bit of Barbadian history. And one of the history makers, one of the contributors to national development, and of course, disability development. Who am I talking about? A man who is a father, who is a brother, a friend, a community worker, an activist, a sports enthusiast, and of course, a former parliamentarian, a minister to be precise. None other than Mr. Hamilton Lashley. Welcome to the program, Mr. Lashley. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Julie. I'm very happy to be joining you this morning, actually ushering in a new year for the program Visions, which I listen to every Sunday morning. You know, I'm happy to be here.
Hey, thank you for listening and giving me your feedback. So, Hamilton Lashley, I think people might say, oh, I know him. He was a former Minister of Social Transformation. You know, he was a Member of Parliament. He's a community worker and so on. But let us talk a little about who really is Hamilton Lashley. Tell us a little more about yourself.
Well, usually it is not complicated. Very simple. The human being who basically loves to help people. I believe that is my calling. Of course, Hamilton Lashley is the kind of person that you would find mixing with any and everybody. I was actually raised up in the housing areas, in Gawler, Christchurch, and mainly in the Pine housing area, you know. I've lived in the housing areas of Barbados for more than 35 years. Of course, that background, you know, that upbringing and that walking, talking, seeing the plight of the poor, the marginalized, the disenfranchised, more or less from a very early age, impacted on me significantly. And I don't know if it was a calling from God himself, and I believe that, I still believe that. One simple purpose in life is to help those who really cannot help themselves, and really to work with them and try as best as I could, as God would allow me to, you know, to help those persons who really need help and really can't help themselves. So to put it in a nutshell, Hamilton Lashley, better known as Hamida, is one simple human being whose main purpose is driven to help people and to let no obstacle be greater than the cause.
Okay, nice. So I'm going to jump right into asking you, what prompted you to get involved in politics?
Usually, I laugh, you realize that, I laugh, because I never ever wanted to get involved in politics. In fact, when I was approached in the year 1994 to run for the constituency of St. Michael, Southeast, I did everything possible not to get engaged, not to be part of the political landscape in Barbados. I even tried to raise $126 to get a ticket to get to Trinidad so that I will not be part of the elect through your process as a candidate in Barbados. And it seems as though it was a conspiracy, because I wasn't working. I was just in the bank, you know, doing volunteer work, working with the young people in the bank. And it seemed, as I said it, as if it was a conspiracy. And that conspiracy was that everybody seemed to be broke at that time. Nobody there had $126 to give me that I could fly out to Barbados and hide away in Trinidad and not get involved as a candidate. But somehow, the people of St. Michael's Southeast insisted, encouraged, persevered, and enticed me more or less to be a candidate. And after the kind of bombardment, so to speak, to run as a candidate at that time for the Democratic Labour Party, I had no other choice but wilt under the pressure and the urging of the people of St. Michael's Southeast and well-wishers from outside of St. Michael's Southeast to take on this Herculean job and this frightening job as a politician. And believe you me, at that time, I was frightened, and still after my last day in politics on the 13th of February, 2013, I was still kind of scared, because politics had never really settled in my blood. I saw my mission there, just as I said at the beginning, was that of bad people. That's simply what it was.
Okay. And another extension of you is sports. We hear you on the radio promoting and giving ball by ball accounts of various sports. So tell us, where was that developed?
Well, that developed within the fine community. Again, at the age of 11 years old, me and some of my peers, young men, we decided that we are going to organize activity within the pine housing area, for, you know, particularly during the holidays, to serve Charlie Best, Ralph Clark, Anthony Wiggins, who is a politician, and many others at the time. But what really, really prompted me to get involved in sporting activities was, at that time, the pine had a very serious stigma attached to it. And I believe up to now, it's still seen as a bastardized, stigmatized community. And the efforts of the community practitioners at the time, we didn't know anything about community work. We were just doing it out of the love of community. And we organized a number of sports, like cricket, football. And we learned the hard way. I learned to commentate cricket. I learned to commentate football. Doing running commentary, learned to commentate road tennis, table tennis. You know, and the commentary is what brought people and attracted many more young people in the area, you know, to be involved in sports and to help to pacify the spirit of the pine community and other communities. And you know, one interesting thing that I would enjoy and would always remember in my lifetime was that there was a particular year in 1992. When that bastardized community called finance that was so much stigmatized, and many people in Barbados was afraid to come in the pine, won every single major sporting event in Barbados. I was then the president of Regents Youth Group and Finance Football Group. We won the netball trophy, Premier League in netball, Premier League in basketball. It was first division, then now it's Premier League, you know, Junior League football. We won cricket. We won all the major trophies. I carried the team over to the United States and also won the Caribbean Soccer Cup over in New York and brought that cup back to Barbados. So all in all, you learn a lot out of the community. It got to be a passion. I'm talking from my heart, really. It must be a passion. It must be inside of you. It got to be a purpose and a cause. And that cause, what prompted me, was to help and join others in turning around the stigma that was attached to my community of the pain.
Well, I guess since you understood stigmatization and discrimination and ostracism, I believe this may have assisted you in giving that level of support required and needed by people within the disability community. which you did very ably as Minister of Social Transformation back in the 90s and early 2000s. So share what that experience was like advocating and representing disability interests.
And I will go very slowly with this because, you know, let me say from the outset, it was also a pleasure meeting you when I was Minister of Social Transformation or working with you. I want to say that from the outset. And I always had admired, you know, your work ethic, how you carried yourself, you know, and the kind of simplicity, you know, and certainly the calmness that you would bring to your job. Of course, when we had our Monday meetings, it was always a pleasure to have you at those meetings. I'm saying this now publicly to you for the first time. In 1998, when former Prime Minister Owen Apple appointed me to be Barbados' first Minister of Social Transformation, it was an awesome undertaking, one that certainly I really did not expect. But putting a brand new ministry into an amateur hand like me, having no ministerial experience, certainly was a matter of significant trust and an awesome task given to me by the former Prime Minister. Of course, when I took up that role as Minister of Social Transformation, I remember that many people, I suppose many Barbadians, had a different view of what social transformation is or what it should be or what it is all about. But I know one thing for certain was that the expectations of Barbadians were extremely high. And then I took it up, and the 11 departments that was given to me that helped made up the Ministry of Social Transformation, one of those departments that certainly I paid significant interest into was that of the National Disability Unit and the whole issue of disabilities within Barbados. The inequality, the marginalization, the stigmatization, the ignorance at the time that surrounded persons with disabilities. While I was minister, I was also learning. But what I brought to the job was that passion to turn around the fortunes of persons with disabilities in a very practical and transparent way that Barbadians would clearly understand the huge us and the huge problems that persons with disabilities were facing in Barbados. And so my first mission was to bring about a greater and higher level of sensitization and awareness to Barbadians. My first program, I will never forget it. It is one that it took place on a Friday evening in Bay Street, where I brought all of the persons with disabilities. These are the performers, those who could sing, who could dance, and also get some of Barbados' top performers, Edwin, TC, Mr. Blood, and that whole group, you know, to come and perform alongside the disabled community. And what a show they put on. They still talk about up to today. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people turned up in Bay Street, including the former representative of the city, I'm Billy Miller. I mean, the energy that came from that stage and the kind of acceptance by all who were there and the fact that it was televised on CBC brought about, in my mind, at least I had achieved that objective of the first step in national sensitization and awareness. Some people questioned the wisdom of doing such a show. They already saw it as a show. I saw it as the initial step in the Ministry of Social Transformation to bring about more acceptance to persons with disabilities in Barbados. And that national sensitization awareness, in my mind, was critical. Now, I want to say this also. You see, what I get to realize is that there are some people that works within government. There's some people who try all kinds of means not to make things happen, while there are some who will go out and try their best to make it happen. When I first took up the ministry, we had a lot of that. People who went out their way to stop things from happening. It was a struggle. It was a fight against what I call the inherent bureaucratic systems that were in place that retard progress. And that was a challenge that I had. And then, of course, to bring about, again, that national sensitization. So after we did that fantastic program, that was only the initial step of sensitization. Now, Barbados, usually, Barbados has signed on, and we have adopted the American Equalization of Opportunities for Persons with Disabilities. I believe the dream of all persons with disabilities and the dream of all persons in Barbados to see that Barbados is all inclusive and fully, fully disabled friendly, adaptive, that we have all the adaptive systems in place, that a person with disabilities, that we see the person and not the disability, that Barbados become the most developed country in the world on this planet when it comes to dealing with the issues of persons with disabilities and practicalize them and make them happen and taking it beyond thought and putting it into action. And that was my purpose. Because, for instance, our deaf community, I always felt there should be a national program in Barbados as it relates to persons who are hearing impaired. And that is that of sign language. In fact, I believe that sign language should be our second language. I know that people talk about Spanish and French. Yes, that's okay. But I believe that every single child of school age, secondary school, tertiary, adults, every Barbadian should learn sign language. Sign language should not only be a language, but it should be part of our national culture. It should also be one where we could do drama just using the art of sign language, okay? I mean, if we are going to be fully, fully inclusive, then every single Barbadian must be on board. And I think that once we can achieve that, then I'm sure that we'll be on our way to becoming a fully inclusive society. Yes, and I have this dream, really. And the thing is that it is so possible that we can make Barbados that inclusive for persons with disabilities. Okay, let me look at the housing aspect of it. As I told you, I was raised in the Pine Housing area and Gawdale Housing area. 35 years of my life. I will be 71 this year. But you have a problem in the housing areas in Barbados right now, where you have the what we refer to as the upstairs houses. And you have upstairs houses with persons that who have physical or mobility issues, who cannot get up the stairs, who have to sleep downstairs. All I am saying is that we built onto each of those housing units an extra room to facilitate a person or person, a couple that has physical mobility issues so that they won't have to climb the stairs. It is not a difficult thing to do. And my reasoning and rationale for that is that Barbados is a fastly growing and aging population. And it's clear that I think if by now we should more than half of our population should be over the age of 50. And once you, which means that we are rapidly aging society, then therefore we have to plan for that. Therefore, we have to make all of the adaptive necessary changes. You know what it does? If you put on that roof, it frees up more space in the house. It reduces your overcrowding in the housing units, in the various housing areas in Barbados. But then it also provides a level of adaptive comfort for persons who have mobility challenges within the housing areas. And you know what? In addition to that, each housing unit, because the majority of the people who live in the housing areas, believe you me, are middle-aged and older persons, should have rails attached to the house and also have what I call the ramps that are wheelchair accessible and adaptive.
As well as the bathrooms.
As well as the bathroom with all the adaptive equipment in the bathrooms. You have a situation where you have a person with mobility challenges, can't climb the stairs, but only that person alone lives in that house. I mean, we now have to carry out a national survey to determine the extent, if it hasn't been done already, of disabilities, but as it relates specifically to the housing areas where you will find the majority of persons with varying types of disability residing. So I see it with my own eyes. I know it can be done, but of course it has to be done in a very systematic way and the necessary analysis, but that should not take long because, I mean, there's nothing better that I know than local knowledge. We don't have to get a rocket scientist to know that we have two people with disabilities living at 83B Parkinson Street, or four persons that have sight problems that are hearing impaired living at. Yes, the people themselves provide you with that information. So I don't see it as a difficult thing that we have to bring in an expert from over in America or England or Japan to come, or Chinese to come here to Barbados to determine these things for us. We should implement our own systems of programs to be implemented here that suit our cultural landscape and our housing landscape to make this country far more adaptable for persons with disabilities. Another problem I have, usually, forgive me, is that of the transport. I seriously believe that we, as signatories to the United Nations Rights on the Disability and the American Equalization of Opportunities for Persons with Disabilities, that all of our buses should have wheelchair adaptability, like in America. If you want to use America, since we are signatories to that, you know, you come, persons know when they get by the bus stop, the bus uses a hydraulic system, the bus lowers, you know, the driver assists the person into the adaptive equipment, and that person is raised into the bus through the mechanism, though, you know, and that moves. So the point that I'm trying to make is that there should be no discrimination, not in this year 2023 and onward. We have to get there. We got to stop the talking now and move towards this fully adaptable and accessible society. Now, the other thing, too, that I want to say is important. When I was minister, we had wide national consultation with persons with disabilities, the entire disability community. I don't like that to talk about the disability community because it sounds to me like very discriminatory. I prefer to say that those persons that, you know, varying problems, okay, that would have impact on them, is that we had wide consultation on every aspect of persons with disabilities. And that was put into their green paper. And that morning when it was debated in the House of Parliament, I was so fussy.
In 2002, the disabled population was extremely proud of that moment.
Yeah, thank you. And I was so happy that I had the opportunity of, you know, presenting it to Parliament. The members of the disabled community attended Parliament. I was extremely, as I said before, fussy. You know why? Because I saw hope and I saw joy and I saw enthusiasm in the eyes and the whole person of all of those persons that who attended Parliament on that day, full of expectations that now the whole effort that Barbados fully disabled friendly, that at least it has started. And I felt good about that very much. I think the current minister, Mr. Humphrey, is moving towards legislation and also implementation. Because generally, I speak very frank, I know that Barbados suffers from an implementation deficit disorder. It's a very difficult thing to get things to happen on a timely basis in Barbados. And that pushes your programs and projects really, really at a disadvantage.
Mr. Lashley, yes. You have so much to share with us. You've talked about the policy document that was tabled in Parliament in 2002 and the legwork that was done to bring it to that point. You spoke about, you know, your growing up days and the call to work with the vulnerable and the poor. And of course, as part of your fulfillment of that calling was working with the disabled people, amongst others, when you were a minister. And we really want to say we thank you and salute you for the work that you have done. And I have to invite you back to continue the conversation so that we can learn more about Paralympic sports and your involvement there, as well as some of the other work around the disability policy and how your ministry would have then, at that time, embraced people with disabilities to do more. So I want to say thank you. And I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you very much, Julie. We will definitely continue the conversation. To put it in Bajan language, I will continue to further lick my mouth.
All right. Well, you have been listening to Visions with me, Udalee Wickham-Ashby, and my special guest this week, Mr. Hamilton Lashley, former Minister of Social Transformation in the Government of Barbados. Sports enthusiast, community worker, and so much more. You can reach me on 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom on 1-246-430-7300. You can email me, visionsbarbados@gmail.com, and you could go onto the VOB929.com website and look for this and past episodes. So until next week, I want you to truly love yourself and love your neighbors just as you love yourself. Ciao!